Welcome to everybody. I'm very pleased to announce that the Shear is sponsored today in loving memory of Fruma Bat Maya on her fifth yortzeit. It should be an aliyah for the neshama. We should learn in her schus, and we're very grateful for the sponsorship and encourage people to get in touch with Mrs. Spivak if they're interested in sponsoring other Shearim. So, as you know, this series, of which we're on Shear number, Baruch Hashem, 133, is dealing with Hashkafa and Halacha and how they interact. So we're also at the moment in a slightly Kabbalistic bent, and I'd like to just move forward with that. I've got a bit of a frog in my throat. I don't know where that came from, but it'll get us through the hour, please God. I want to talk about a topic that I've never talked about in this forum, but it's something that affects us all the time because we're big on washing our hands. Now, some people are big on washing their hands for hygiene reasons. Jews tend to be big on washing their hands for ritual reasons. And I would just mention at the beginning that there is a whole avenue of research on how Jewish hand washing interacts with obsessive compulsive disorders. Because there are people who use this as an outlet for their OCD. And I brought you at the bottom, I'm not talking about this here, this is not my field, but I've brought you some links to some very interesting research and a very interesting source sheet by Rabbi Mordechai Toshina. Rabbi Toshina is in Canada, very well-known Magid Shir. He has a whole shir on Judaism and OCD. So maybe at some point we can come on to that. It's becoming more and more of an issue as time goes by. But that is a whole angle with hand washing, which I'm not talking about. But we do wash our hands a lot. And I want to talk about the issue of Ruach Ra'ah. Ruach Ra'ah is one of a whole family of Kabbalistic, mystical ideas. We'll talk about Ayin Ra'ah when I come back after the break. I'm away for 3 weeks, as I think I mentioned. Next week, the week after that, I'm going to be away in America. I'm going to, please God, to Denver to speak and to Atlanta, Georgia to speak. But Rabbi Berzon will be here for those 3 weeks, and now, please God, will be back after that. But we'll talk about Ayin Hara when we get there. But this is a whole raft of Kabbalistic ideas. And someone asked me, just coming in here, he said to me, I never understood, when do we wash on one hand, and when do we wash like this? And you see all sorts of people doing all sorts of stuff, half of it wrong, and we'll see how that works today. Let's start off with the Chumash, because, you know, Chazal did not create the idea of washing our hands. It's in the Chumash itself. The Kohanim are a good place to start, because none of us here are working in the Beit HaMikdash, as far as I'm aware, but the Kohanim had a big role. Number one, Vasisa kiyon nechoshet v'kanoch nechoshet, you have to make this beautiful laver with its base made of bronze. L'rachza, for washing, v'natata oto bein oil mo'ed, or bein amizbech, v'natata shama ma'im. So you'll put water in this beautiful thing for the Kohanim to wash their hands. V'rachzu aron u'banav mimenu, et yedehem v'et ragleihem. They had to wash their hands and wash their feet. B'voim ha'oil mo'ed, yirchatzu ma'im, v'lo yamutu. Because if they don't wash their hands and their feet, they will die. They must wash their hands and their feet to prepare to approach Hashem, and we'll see, we'll come back to this idea later on. Otherwise, they will die. Obegishtam al mezbech l'shari l'hakti ishel Hashem. V'rachatzu yideihem v'ragleihem v'lo yamutu. Again, it says they must wash their hands and feet and not die. V'haitza lehem chok olam lo ulzaro l'doratam. Now, we don't wash our hands today to go into the Beis HaMikdash, but you'll see that the ideas of hand washing that we have connect up with this, and the Kohanim will see that soon. Secondly, there, of course, is a very well-known idea of mikveh in the Chumash. Mikveh, however, requires that you don't just wash your hands, but you wash your entire body. If you just dip your hands in the mikveh, it doesn't do anything as far as mikveh is concerned. If you dip your elbow in the mikveh, your whole body, to the extent that all your hair and everything has to be underneath the mikveh. So if you look at number two, in terms of mikveh for a zav, I'm not getting into what the specific tumah of a zav is, but when a man who is a zav has to go to the mikveh, it says in number two, v'kol asher yigea bo hazav, anyone who the zav touches, v'yadav lo shataf b'mayim, and they didn't wash their hands, shituf yadaim, shtifat yadaim, okay? They didn't wash their hands with water, v'kibes b'gadav, v'rachas b'mayim, and they didn't launder their clothes, which means mikveh with water, v'tamei ad arev. They'll be tameh until the evening. If a zav, who is an av hatumah, who creates significant tumah, touches a person, says they've got to wash their hands. Now, that washing of hands doesn't mean wash their hands. That means go to the mikveh. Why did the Torah phrase the idea of mikveh as you got to wash your hands. So there, the Mephoshim picked this up and said, that's very interesting, because it seems that the hands almost represent the idea of cleanliness. They're the dugma, the example of cleanliness. First of all, they're the things that most people touch most people with, and therefore that's the classic way that you will get to touch people, be touched by zav. But also, actually very interesting, in Hilchas Mikvah, there's a rule that Yadayim teach us that only the bits of the body that are external need to come into contact with the mikvah water. This is not my shear for today, but that's an interesting topic. You might think, well, I mean, what else is going to come out with into contact with the mikvah water? It's not going to go inside your stomach. The answer is, well, I don't know. Maybe you have to open your mouth. Do you have to open your mouth under the mikvah, let the water go in your mouth? The answer is no, you don't have to open your mouth. Please don't do that. It's not healthy. Under the mikvah, to let the water go in. One interesting nafka minna, an application of this, is a woman, let's say, who needs to use the mikvah, has an ear infection and needs to have something in her ear, cotton wool or with oil or something like that. What are the halachas of what she can have in her ear, can't have in her ear, if she needs to not get her eardrum wet, but she needs to go to the mikvah? I'm not getting into the halachas now, but this is part of that related to that. Anyway, you end up with a halachic idea of washing the hands, which is clearly expressed here as shituf or shtifat yadayim. Now, of course, this is not hygiene. This is tumah and tahara. Tumah and tahara is a halachic construct. There is a hygiene connection. Everybody knows that the Jews washed their hands long before everybody else was washing their hands, which was one of the reasons, amongst many, that they did not succumb as much to many of the plagues, the Black Death specifically. As far as I'm aware, 35 to 40% of the general population was wiped out by the Black Death. Around 25% of the Jewish population was wiped out by the Black Death. It's not as if they were immune, but one of the reasons for that low percentage was because they didn't live with animal waste, and they washed their hands and they after the bathroom and they went to the mikveh, etc., etc. Now, of course, it didn't do them much good, because the non-Jews blamed them for causing the plague and then killed so many Jews after the plague, but those hygiene standards definitely stood in good stead. And then, of course, you have the other Chumash example of washing hands, which is quite different, which is number three, although I'll mention it. Anyone, if you find a dead body, and nobody knows who killed the dead body, all the elders of the towns which are close to where the body was found, they will wash their hands al ha'egla rufa banachal, on the heifer that has its neck cut off there in the nachal, in the valley. Va'anu va'amru, and they will answer together, yadeinu lo shafchu et adam hazeh ve'einenu lo ra'u. We are not responsible for this person. And they're asking, are we responsible? Did we cause this person to be wandering around without help or lost in the wilderness without food? Kaper la'amchal Yisrael asher pidisa Hashem. Please give us a kapara. Al titen dam naki bekerev amcha. Don't put innocent blood on your people, Yisrael. V'nikaper lahem hadam. And the blood will be an atonement for them. This idea of washing hands as an atonement to say that there should be a kaparo comes from this death. That's a very ancient Chumash idea. This is perhaps the origin. I brought you in source 4 from a little-known sefer in the Ashkenazi Rishonim called the Sefer HaKushiyot, which was, we don't exactly know who wrote it in the 13th century. It brings down that this is the reason why we wash our hands when we leave a cemetery. One of the reasons that we wash our hands, as if to say that death brings kapara, and please God, we should have a kapara. We've left a place where people are dead, and therefore that's one of the reasons for washing the hands, which is very interesting. Of course, if you're New Testament minded, you'll be thinking of Pontius Pilate right now and him washing his hands. Maybe you're not at all. Maybe that's just me. But washing his hands, of course, and if you're interested, I brought you the quote in Matthew for that as well. But that comes directly from Egla Rufa. The idea of they got everything really from us or from the Greeks, one way or the other, and therefore washing the hands as a kapara comes from that. Yes. Yes, so that, yeah, washing the feet is as a preparation for coming into the home. It's a good question. I don't exactly know how. There's a lot of feet washing going on. Yosef and the brothers washing their feet. I didn't do any research into what is the symbolism of washing the feet before you relax. You know, I don't know if it's anything to do with washing the hands or not. Maybe that can be our next year, feet washing. But at the moment, I'm going to stick with hand washing. Good. So far, there are references in the Chumash in a few places to hand washing, but where do the rabbis come in? So Chazal created a whole new concept halachically of tumat yadayim. We'll get in a minute to the mornings, we're not there yet. What is tumat yadayim? Tumat yadayim means, Chazal said, even though if you touch something which is tamei, your hands only will not be tamei, your whole body will be tamei, and you need to go to the mikveh. You can't have a bit of you which is tamei and a bit of you which is not. Rabbinically, Chazal say, we are going to create a whole new category of Tumat Yadayim, where your hands can be on a rabbinic level tameh while the rest of you is tahor. For example, if a person touched, I'm not getting into all the details, a rishon letuma, something which was tameh on a lower degree, that wasn't enough to make the whole person tameh, but it was enough on a rabbinic level to make their hands tameh. And for this, Chazal instituted a new thing called nitilat yadayim. Nitilat yadayim. Nitilat yadayim doesn't exist on a Torah level. Rabbinically, they said you take this thing called a natla. That's why they call it nitilat yadayim. Take it up, you wash your hands. Now, how you wash them, we'll see in a minute. But nitilat yadayim, they said, is required for this rabbinic level. They also dealt with something called stam yadayim. What's stam yadayim? Stam is the most wonderful, useful word in Hebrew. You know, stam, you know. Stam yadayim means hands that I don't know if they touched anything specifically tameh, but they're just hands. And hands get all over the place. You never know exactly where your hands have been. I mean, you should have some basic understanding of where your hands have been, but you never know what they've touched, because hands are askaniot. They're all over the place. So Chazal said that for some things, stam yadayim also need nitilat yadayim, specifically truma for the Kohen. And since the Kohenim needed to wash their hands with nitilat yadayim for stam yadayim, even if they didn't know their hands were tameh, so Chazal widened that to the whole Jewish people. So you and I, even if we're not eating truma, have to wash our hands for bread, so that the Kohenim, when the Beis HaMikdash is built, will remember that they have to wash their hands for truma, which was usually eaten as bread. So actually, when there are other reasons for nitilat yadayim before a meal, but when you wash your hands next for bread, I'm gluten-free, so this is not a big thing for me, so I only get a little bit of this and that on Shabbos. But when you wash your hands for bread, understanding you're making a statement that the Beis HaMikdash will be built, and I'm doing this so the Kohenim know what they're doing, and when the Beis HaMikdash is there, they'll know to do nitilat yadayim for truma. And if you look in this number 5, you'll see that there's a short Mishnah, notlim yadayim, there's a din of nitilat yadayim, says the Mishnah, l'chulin for regular bread that we eat, L'maaser, for maaser sheni, if you had maaser sheni in Yerushalayim, you had to wash for that too. L'truma, for the kohen to eat truma, that's nitilat yadayim. U'l'kodesh, and if you eat kodshim, i.e. korbanot, there's an extra in of matbilin. You do tevilat yadayim. Anyone here ever done tevilat yadayim? You ever heard of tevilat yadayim? So there is, we don't eat kodshim anymore. We will do at some stage, I'm sure. But there is a din now of tevilat yadayim. Interesting halach in nitilat yadayim. If you wash with water which is not drinkable, you cannot do nitilat yadayim. It will not work. The water has to be at least on a minimal level drinkable. You might not want to drink it, but it has to be drinkable. If you, for example, go to the beach and decide to have a sandwich on the beach and go down to the sea with your nitilat yadayim, natla, and wash with the sea, that doesn't work. The seawater is not drinkable on any level, and therefore you cannot do nitilas yadayim with seawater. What do you do? So the halacha lemaisan, I brought you the source in Shulchan Aruch, in kuf nun tet, is you do tefilas yadayim. You take your hands, halacha lemaisan, you dip them in the water. You don't have to do it 3 times. Just dip them in the water, and you're done. Tefilas yadayim. Try this in the summer when you go to the beach. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it depends on what your idea of fun is, but it's my idea of fun. The shaila then becomes, what brocha do you make? Do you say Asheik Hashanah Mitzvah Zanu al Netilas Yadayim? Or do you say Asheik Hashanah Mitzvah Zanu al Tevilas Yadayim? Or do you say Asheik Hashanah Mitzvah Zanu al Shtifas Yadayim? And if you're interested in that, you can look it up in the Mishnah Berurah and have a lot of fun on that this week. But there's already something that you might not have known that you can do on the beach this year. Now, let's go from here to the mornings. Because washing in the morning is a completely different thing. It's not for bread, it's not for truma, it's not for any of these things. Why on earth do we wash our hands in the morning? So if you look at the Gemara, let's have a look at this now in some depth. Look at the Gemara number 6. The Gemara says it goes through a whole routine in the morning. Ki mit'ar, when you wake up in the morning, what should you say, says the Gemara? Omer, you open your eyes. Now you're about to say, well, modi'ani. No, modi'ani is not in the Gemara. You say, Elokai, neshama shenatata bi tahorihi, etc. You say, Elokai, neshama shenatata bi, because you realize you're awake, Baruch Hashem, you're alive, which is great, and you say the brocha Elokai, neshama, etc. Now, that's, of course, not what we do today. Kishama kol tarnigoyla, when you hear the voice of the rooster. I live in Alon Shvud. I hear the muazin before I hear the rooster. I don't know if there's a brocha. Well, maybe there are brochas on hearing the muazin, but I don't want to get into that. But when you hear the rooster, you say leima baruch Hashem, and baruch means baruch atah Hashem l'kinu mecholam. Hashem nasan asech v'ibin al hafchim ben yom v'ilayla. Because you hear the rooster who makes the difference between day and night. The truth is, roosters, they do it all day. So I don't know, you know, maybe it's just today. Maybe they're all a bit strange. Ki patach einaf, einei, when you open up your eyes, leima baruch pokeach ivrim. Ki taritz, when you sit up, v'yasev, and you sit up properly, straighten up, you say, baruch matir asurim. Ki lavish, when you put your clothes on, leima baruch malbish arumim. Meaning you're making all these brachas as you do these actions in your morning routine. Ki zakif, when you get up on the floor, leima baruch sokeif kufafim. Ki nachis la'ara, when you put your feet on the ground, leima baruch rokei aretz alamayim. Ki maski, when you start to walk, you say, baruch hamechi mitzadei gaver. Ki siyam misane, when you put on your shoes, leima baruch she'asa likol tzarki. Ki asa hem yane, when you put on your belt, you say, baruch hazeh Yisrael bigvura. Ki paris sudra al reishi, when you pop your hat on your head, you say, baruch oitei Yisrael b'tifara. Ki ma'atif b'tzitzis, when you put on your tzitzis, you say, asher kidisharim b'tzitzis v'tzivan alitatef b'tzitzis. Ki manach tfilin, you put on your tfilin. Adare, when you put them on your hand, you say, baruch asher kidisharim b'tzitzis v'tzivan alanech tfilin. Areishi, when you put on your head tfilin, leima baruch asher kidisharim b'tzitzis v'tzivan al mitzvahs tfilin. Then, ki mashe yade, then when you wash your hands, you say, baruch asher kidisharim b'tzitzis v'tzivan al netzilas yadayim. Ki mashe api, then when you wash your face, you say, baruch ama vechevli shenami ala papai, and you go on from there into shacharis. Now, this is very strange, because an awful lot has happened in that routine before you got to washing your hands. You stood up, you walked around, you put your clothes on, you put your tzitzis on, and your tefillin on, then you wash your hands. Now, that is not what we do today. So, what's going on here? Why is hand washing there? And the Rambam paskens straight from the Gemara, looking number 7. I'll do this quite quickly. I didn't bring the whole thing. He brings basically the Gemara, but he shifts around the order a little bit. I'm not getting into why. When you hear the cockroach crow, then I shortened it here. Etc. He goes through all the routine. At the end, he says, again, at the end. That is the Rambam's Psak. And if the Rambam indeed paskens, if any one of these things, for whatever reason, is not applicable to you that day, so then you don't make that bracha. For example, number 8. Kol bracha mehem, any one of these brachas, sheloi nitchayev ba, that you don't have to make, eino mevarechata, you just leave it out. Why? Ketzad, how does that work? Lan biksuta, let's say you sleep in your clothes. You're in the army, on maneuvers, sleep in your clothes. Then you're not going to make the bracha malbish arumim. You weren't malbish arumim. You just slept in your clothes. Halach yachif, if you go barefoot in the morning, you don't make the bracha on shoes because you're not wearing any shoes. But Yom Kippurim, on Yom Kippur, b'tisha ba'av, she'ein sham rechitza, and you don't wash your hands in the morning, einu mevarech netzila shadayim. So clearly, he understands that some days you do wash your hands, some days you don't even wash your hands, and you certainly, the bracha is all dependent on the action. Somewhere along the line, we stopped doing this, and we started making all the brachas together as part of davening. It's not entirely clear when that happened. The Shulchan Aruch already, if you go over the page, if you look on page number 3, in number 9, the Shulchan Aruch already puts in the Tilas Yadayim in Siman Dalad, meaning Aleph is get up in the morning, get on with your life, etc. Already, the Tzel Shadayim is not till Siman Dalet. Yirchatz Yadav Yevarech Anatilas Yadayim. Now, we'll see soon, the Shulchan Aruch is already living in a world post-Kabbalistic world. We'll see what changes that makes. But it's very clear that Netilas Yadayim did not have the place that it has now in terms of the very first thing that a person does. It had a slightly later place in the routine. Now, why is there Netilas Yadayim at all? Meaning we're not eating bread, we're not eating truma, we're not tamei, there's no tuma. Why are we washing our hands in the morning? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down, there are two basic halachic reasons for washing hands in the morning. One is from the Rosh and one is from the Rashba. Let's look, this is important, number 10. Says the Mishnah Berurah, he says it very clearly. Yichatz Yagrav, on the Shulchan Aruch it says wash your hands. Number 10. Yesh azeh shnei ta'amim. There are two reasons for washing your hands. Harosh katav, the Rosh writes, because your hands are all over the place, especially when you're asleep. You're scratching yourself. You don't know what you're touching. It's not possible that you didn't touch some part of your body which is sweaty, balayla, during the night. And therefore Chazal said, you can't say Kriya Shema. You can't say Tfilah. You can't daven in the morning, Amida, with hands that have been scratching your body. You have to wash your hands in preparation for Tfilah. That's the reason we wash our hands in the morning. It's a hachana letfila. Nothing to do with bread. It's nothing to do with tumah. It's you can't approach God with dirty hands. The Harashba kasev, and the Rashba writes lefish b'shachar in the morning, a different reason. Acha Hashena, when you woken up from sleep, anunasim kabriya chadasha, we're like a whole new being. Dichsiv, as it says, chadashim levakarim rabbi munasecha, we're very grateful to Hashem. Tzrichin anu lahoidosla, we have to thank God. Yitzbarach shebaranu lichvado, he created us for his honor. Lesharato or levarach shmoi, we have this whole new beginning, a new start in life. It's a very exciting, it's amazing. You always feel better in the morning. As you get older, you don't always feel better in the morning. But when you're a kid, you know, the kid's crying at night, you'll feel better in the morning. And he does. The kid feels better in the morning. The one piece of marital advice we were given constantly is never have an argument before you go to bed. Okay? If you still want to have an argument in the morning, argue in the morning. And usually in the morning, yeah, you don't feel like arguing anymore in the morning. And that's my experience anyway. And that's why all these brachas come in the morning. Lechein, gam davazet tiknu b'shachar lehitkadem, lehitkadesh, sorry, b'kedushato. Therefore, we have to be mekadesh ourselves, v'lin tol yadenu, we have to wash our hands, min ha-kli, with a kli, k'kohen she mekadesh yadav min ha-kior kodem avodasa. And here you see the idea of the kli and the mayim, because it's based, says the Rashba, on the mikdash. Just like a Kohen approaches his service and washes his hands in preparation, you have to do that too. And by the way, that's another reason for Netilas Shadayim, for the meal. Quite apart from the truma reason that we talked about, there is a whole kedusha, that a meal for us is like a Kohen approaching the avoda and the mikdash. And that's why we wash our hands. We have all sorts of mikdash minhagim at the meal. We dip the bread in salt, because the Kohen used to dip the meat in salt before they took it up the ramp. There are people who have a minhag to throw the bread. That's not just Sephardim, by the way. It's brought down in the Ksav Sofer. He was a Hungarian. It's certainly not Sephardi. Why do we throw the bread at the Shabbos table? Because the Kohen, when he got to the top of the ramp, he didn't put the bread on the fires, on the marachot. He threw. He had to be a good aim. So we're, again, a Kohen throwing the bread, taking the knives off the table. Some people are very into that before benching. Again, because metal couldn't touch the Mizbeach. It's all coming from the Beit HaMikdash. People say you can't sit on the dining room table, all these kind of things. So the Rashba says that we do this because of the Kohen. Now, if you think about it, lahalacha, put it at the end, the very end here, lahalacha ana tosim k'shnei atamim l'chumra le'inyan etila. We follow both of these reasons. Meaning, the reason of the Rashba and the reason of the Rosh, either of them requires netila shadayim. But the halachic nafkamina is very important. For the Rashba, you dafka need water. You need a kli. You need water, because the Kohen had a kli and water. For the Rosh, you just need to clean your hands. It's really just a question of being clean. You could use hand sanitizer. Let's say you had hand sanitizer by the bed. You just squidge a little bit on your hand. All ready for davening. Kills 99.9% bacteria. That's what it says on the bottle. Anyway, it's the 0.1% that you have to look out for. But okay, so Netilas Yadayim will work. Or actually, will it be Netilas Yadayim? Maybe it will be Nikiat Yadayim. And there's a whole other question now. Is the bracha, if you clean your hands according to the Rosh with hand sanitizer, is it Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvos HaVisivanu Al Nikiyat Yadayim? So now you've got four options. Nikiyat Yadayim, Netilat Yadayim, Shitifat Yadayim, Tevilat Yadayim. You have to go work out what to do. But one way or the other, these are halachic reasons in preparation for washing in the morning. So what's this got to do with Ruach Ra? Yes, Rabbi Ziegler. Right. Right, good, because the kli is the nakla, and therefore if you're not washing with a kli, if all you can do according to the Rosh is just clean your hands, so why would you take Netilat Yadayim? It doesn't make any sense. You'd say Nikiyat Yadayim, and there's a whole discussion about that. Now, so what's with all this business? Because whenever you wash your hands, you don't have to do all this sirugim. When you wash for bread, you should not be doing this. By the way, if you do this, it's not good. It doesn't, halachically, it messes up your washing. It's just right hand, then left hand. Some people do once and once. Some people do twice and twice. Some people do three times and three times. But either way, it's first the right hand, then the left hand. So where does all this kind of, what's that? If you're left-handed, good question. There's a whole shir on left-handed people. As far as I'm aware, they still do the right hand first, but I'm not, I don't know. I can't remember, so... In the meantime, you know, you have to not have any bread until we find out the answer. But where does this sirugim come from? Where does this business of, it's called the sirugim, like a kippah sruga, like a knitted, yeah? So this comes from a completely different place. And if you, before we even get to the Zohar, look at the Gemara number 11. This may take you by surprise. in a completely different place, not relating to the morning routine at all, the Gemara comes out with an astounding statement in number 11. Rabbi Mona, Haya Omer, Rabbi Mona would say, Yad la'ayin, if you put your hand in your eye, tikatzetz, it should be cut off, your hand. Now, he's not being literal, but he's saying you deserve to have your hand cut off. Yad l'chotem, if you put your hand in your nostrils, tikatzetz, should be cut off. Yad l'peh, if you put your hand in your mouth, tikatzetz. Yad l'ozen, if you put your hand in your ear, tikatzetz. Yad l'chasuda, chasuda means a wound, an open wound, tikatzetz. Yad la'ama, if you put your hands on the different parts of your private parts of your body, tikatzetz. Yad l'pitabad, if you put your hands on your behind, tikatzetz. Yad l'gigitz, if you put your hand in a barrel of beer, tikatzetz. There's a lot of hand chopping up going on. What's going on? You ever heard? What's going on here? Says the Gemara here, Yad masama, because your hand can make you blind. Yad mechareshes, your hand can make you deaf. Yad mala polypus, your hand can make your breath go bad. Tanya Rabbi Nosson, I'm a bat chorin he, because this is a bat chorin. This is a free evil spirit that floats on your hands. Umekpedit ad shiirchatz yadav sholosh pa'amim. And this evil spirit, this bat chorin, is going to be particular. It's going to cling to your hands until you wash them 3 times. And this is where the sirugin comes, on each hand, one after the other. What's going on here? Why can you not put your hand into your eye, into your nose, into your ears? So if you look at Rashi, in number 12, Rashi, we're not going to do the whole of Rashi. Rashi explains, Yad la'ayin, shacharit, in the morning, kodem sheyitol yadav. You may not put your hands in your eyes, he says, before you do netilas shidaim in the morning. Tikatzetz, why does it mean tikatzetz? Look at the second line of Rashi. No achloshi tikatzetz. It's appropriate that you should have it cut off. We won't obviously, God forbid, cut anyone's hands off. Sheruach ra'a shere al hayad umasamato. And here's the magic word. Ruach ra'a is on your hands. And it'll make you blind if you put your hand in your eye. V'chein kolam, and so too all of them, if you put your hand in your ear, could, God forbid, make you deaf in your mouth, could do bad things to your breath. If you all the different parts of the orifices of your body, your hand may not touch them until it's been washed for Netilas Shadayim. Why? Ruach ra. This has got nothing to do with prep for davening. It's nothing to do with being recreated. All those halachic reasons for Netilas Shadayim. This is a mystical reason. But it's in the Gemara. It's in the Gemara. This is not in the Zohar. And in fact, the Gemara, well, it is in the Zohar, and it goes further, but it's not just in the Zohar. The Gemara goes further, and this is quite famous in number 13. Chamisha achad mishishin. There are 5 1-in-60s. 5/60ths. Now, when Chazal hashkafically said a 60th, they're using the idea of bottle b'shishim. Shishim is the minimal amount that you can still taste something. Less than that, you can't taste it. There are 5 different 60ths. The Elohim, and these are they. Eish, Dvash, Shabbos, Shena, V'chalom. Okay? Fire, honey, Shabbos, sleep, and a dream. Eish, fire, is Echad Mishishim LeGehenim, is a tiny taste of 1/60th of Gehenim. Dvash is Echad Mishishim LeMan, is a tiny taste of the man. Shabbos, everyone knows, Echad Mishishim LeOlam Haba, is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shena, Echad Mishishim LeMisa, but sleep is a 60th of death. And chalom is echad mishishim le-nevuah. A dream can be worth 60th of prophecy. Now, hashkafically, this is very important. What does it mean that sleep is a 60th of death? Jewishly, we're not into sleep. Meaning, life means being active, productive, involved, growing. When you're asleep, okay, you've got to sleep. If you don't sleep, then you'll fall apart. But sleep is very frustrating. I don't know about you, I find sleep very frustrating. All these hours in the night when there's nothing to do but lie down with your eyes closed, it's a terrible waste of time, if you think about it. Okay, you've got to do it, but, you know, it's annoying. And that's the idea. It's Echo Mishishim Mimisa. Because you want to be alive. You can only be alive when you're doing things and gaining and growing and all of these things, conscious and focused, active and productive. And sleep, therefore, is a little bit of death. So we're not into sleeping. In fact, the idea the Shulchan Aruch brings, you should get up before the morning gets up. The idea you should be up before Nate. You should bring in the morning. You shouldn't be sleeping into the middle of the morning. All of these things. I think, again, as I get a little bit older, it becomes easier not to sleep so long. In fact, it becomes harder to sleep at all. But that's another question. Now, therefore, you see this idea of Ruach Ra to the point that it said maybe your hand should even be cut off. We'll see how that goes into the halacha. Then in Hilchas Yom Kippur, you find another interesting thing. Look at number 14, page 4. Can you wash your hands on Yom Kippur if you're serving food to a child? Now, you saw the Rambam. The Rambam says, well, we don't wash our hands on Yom Kippur, right? We don't make Netilas Yadayim because you can't wash your hands because of the prohibitions of Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, no, you must wash your hands to serve food for a child. Medicha isha yada achat. A woman should wash one hand, b'mayim, with water, v'notenet patna tinok, and then she can give bread into her child's mouth. Ve'enu chasheshet. She doesn't have to worry about that. It's okay on Yom Kippur. Amru alav al Shammai Azakin, they say a story about Shammai, shelo ratza la'achil b'yado achad. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to feed the kid and wash his hand. He wanted to get someone else to do it. V'gazru alav la'achil b'shtei yadayim. And they came down on him and said, you have to wash both hands because you weren't doing this. My timer, what's the reason? Why do I have to wash my hands? Ama abaye mishum shifta. What's a shifta? So Rashi says, look in number 15, b'dicha et yadayim, et yada, lefi sheruach ra shore al alechem. If you don't wash your hands in the morning, the ruach ra on your hands will go onto the bread, and then you're putting evil spirit bread into your kid's mouth. Whatever that means, I don't know what it means, but it doesn't sound great. Hanilkach biyadayim shelo nakla shachris v'shem hashed. Oh, now we're talking about shadim. The demon that's involved is called shifter. Now, I just want to make clear here, we haven't even opened the Zohar yet. This is in the Gemara, this is in Perush Rashi. There are demons, there's the stuff on your hands, the stuff on your bread, etc. Now, some want to give a very rationalistic understanding. The Gemara in Brochas says that there are millions and billions of shadim all around us, and if we were only to see them, we would go mad. Maybe that's bacteria. Meaning if you could see all the bacteria crawling around everywhere, you would probably go crazy. But it's not clear that that's what this means. Maybe this has a Kabbalistic and mystical meaning. But certainly there's a problem of touching the bread as well. And not just the bread. Let's now look at the Zohar, because we'll see how this all gets into the Halacha as we go forward from the next source. But let's just look at the Zohar. Tachazi says the Zohar number 16. Kol bnei alma b'shata denimi. All the world, everyone when they're sleeping, alarisaihu b'layla, on their beds at night. Laila paris gadfa al kol bnei alma, and Laila, night, spreads its cloak over the whole world. Tamid tamid the Musa, they taste this taste of death. We saw that in the Gemara already, the 60th of death. Umigo the tamid tamid the Musa, and since they taste this taste of death, hai ruach masava shati al alma, this negative ruach ra, this evil spirit rests on the world. V'saiv alma v'shari al yado d'bnei d'barnash v'aistaiv. And it rests on the hands of the person, and their hands remain tameh. Even when they're, or not tameh, they remain, have this ruach ra. Because I don't want to use the word tumah, which is often confused, because tumah is a halachic category. This is not a halachic category as such. It's a mystical halachic category. Their hands remain tameh, even when the rest of their body is restored to life. Bekad atar, when they wake up, vidhadalim nishmate, b'chol ma diyakriv biyado, okay? When they get their soul back in the body, kulam masave, their hands are all tamei, begin to shari alahi ruach masav, because this negative spirit rests on them. Now, va'alda, therefore, lo yasav ben barnash, monui de'ilbisha mimanda lo natal yado. Therefore, you may not take clothes. If someone's giving you your clothes to get dressed in the morning, you can't take clothes from a certain person who has not washed their hands. Deha amshich alei hahu ruach misav istav, because the evil spirit will go from your hands onto the clothes. And then your clothes have got ruach ra. Now again, I don't know what that means. Please ask your local Orthodox Kabbalist. But if you want to walk around with ruach ra on your clothes all day, I don't know. I don't know, maybe not. And by the way, this is halakhically relevant. If you work in a bakery, if you're a non-religious Jewish worker in a bakery, do you have to wash your hands before you handle all the challahs? Meaning, not just for hygiene. Let's assume they say everyone has to use hand sanitizer before they touch the challahs. But is that enough? Because this Jewish guy got out of bed this morning, he didn't wash his hands, he's not from, and he walks into the bakery, and he's patchkin in the challahs, and there's ruach ra going all over the place. And taka, one of the differences between the different hechsherim, as far as I'm aware, the Bedatz Hechsher, you go to Angel's Bakery, requires the workers to do Netilas Yadayim with a kli in the morning, Besirugin, because of the Ruach Ra. Now again, should you be worried about that because of your bread? I don't know. But that's Lenaf Kamina, there's a practical application as to how that works. So the Zohar definitely talks about this as well, but not just the Zohar, the Gemara too. How does this work in Halakha? And this is where it gets, I think, very interesting. Because I don't know what you do in the morning when you get out of bed, and you don't need to volunteer that information right now. Not everybody, some people have a little schissel of water under the bed, and you know the first thing they do is they lean out and they wash with water. But a lot of people don't do that. They walk to the bathroom, they wash their hands in the bathroom. Some people may not even walk to the bathroom. Usually people go to the bathroom pretty soon after they wake up, wash their hands, whatever. So what do you have to do? It sounds from this that it's not a good idea to be messing around with hand washing in the morning. Let's have a look at the halacha. The Torah, let's start with the Torah. Number 17. Says the Torah, now he's obviously going to integrate the Gemara, but not necessarily the Zohar. V'yirchatz b'nikayon kapav. You wash your hands in the morning. V'yivarech v'yani make a brocha. Brocha tzal Hashem and kenem elecha olam ha'sheikh shanu v'zitzanu v'al mitzilas yadayim. V'yidaktek. And you should be very careful. La'aroitz aleihim shloisha pa'amim. You have to wash three times, not just once. Now the Rambam never mentioned three times. He just said wash. Because it's like the Rosh or the Rashba, you're washing for davening. Why do you need three times? Nope, the Torah says three times. Because of this, Mipnei, Sheruach Ra Shoeh Al Hayadayim. Because of Ruach Ra. It's made its way into the Halacha because it was in the Gemara. Kodin Atila, Ve'ein Asara Ad Sheyari Aleim Gimel Pamim. You have to wash three times. Ve'al Kein, and therefore, Tzarech Limno Mi Yegiya B'yadu Kodin Atila Lepeh. Therefore, he paskens, don't touch your mouth, Ula Chaitem, or your nose, V'laz Naim, and your ears, Le'inayim, your eyes, Mipnei Sheruach Ra Shoeh Aleihem. And God forbid that could be dangerous for them. But if you don't have any water, okay, wipe them on the sheet, wipe them on a stone, or bakol midi demankio, anything that will clean them. Because soft, there is a basic halachic requirement of nikia, of nikiyut, which doesn't require water, but you should not touch anything, before you wash your hands three times. Now, the Bach changes the rules of the game. Now, who's the Bach? The Bach comes in the century after the Shulchan Aruch. Nobody until now has talked about walking Dalad Amos before you wash your hands. Nobody's talked about that. It's not in the Gemara. It's not in the Zohar that we have. But comes along the Bach and says in number 18, Kasav B'Sefer Tolas Yaakov. So he quotes this Sefer. The Bach is living in the 1600s. The Zohar, that in the Zohar, it says the following: Haholech shachris arba amos. If you walk four amos in the morning, now the arba amos on a grown man is about the distance between one hand and the other. So it's about this distance. If you walk that far in the morning, v'loy natal yadav, and you didn't wash your hands, chayev misa. You're liable to death at the hands of heaven, like the kohanim who approach the mikdash without. I don't know if it's connected, but you chayev misa. V'teima. One second. Let's just go on a little. V'teima. I'm very surprised. Why did the Shulchan Aruch not mention this? So you could be all academic and say, well, the Shulchan Aruch didn't have that version of the Zohar. He had our version of the Zohar, but the Bach's not going into that. He says, I'll tell you why he didn't mention it. V'tema, lama loy kasav kein Beit Yosef. Why did the Beit Yosef not mention it? V'nira, I'm going to tell you why. Lifi sheruba deruba eini yuchonim li'zai bekach. Because most people can't do this. They can't get to water within Dalet Amos. Umutav shiyu shogegim. It's better, therefore, they don't know about this. I'm sorry, I've let the cat out of the bag here. Better they shouldn't know about it. V'loyu mezidim lekach lo kasav. Meaning, he says the Beis Yosef purposely left this out because he knows that people aren't going to do it, and he doesn't want you to know that you're chayv misa because that's obviously very serious business. Therefore, he'd rather you just, well, ignorance is bliss. Yes, sir.
We live here in the Middle East.
We do.
Which is a desert.
I don't try. All right, good.
Okay. A lot of people are interested in saving water.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't wash my hands. I use a hand cleaner.
Okay, good. We just talked about that.
Is a hand cleaner okay?
We just talked about that just before you came in. It's not good enough for Ruach Ra, but it's good enough for the Rosh and for the Rashba. Or maybe for the Rosh. Well, I'm not paskening for you, sir. You have to ask your Shaila to your rabbi.
I wash my hands when I'm eating before I eat bread.
Okay, good, good. Fine. Yes. I didn't say it was good enough. Good, yes. That's a Maimach Ronim thing. For the morning, that doesn't work. You have to wash your hands to the Perek, to here, or at the very least to here. Okay, in Yom Kippur, people wash to here, but preferably to here. Now, Yom Kippur to the knuckles, they say, not to the wrist. Okay. He washes all the way, right? Okay, good. Fine. Now, the Shvus Yaakov, looking number 19. Let's do some of these quite quickly, because I want to show you how all this gets into Halacha L'maisa, because the gentleman there asked, what should he do L'maisa? We're going to deal with that right now. Says number 19. Who's a Shvus Yaakov? Rav Yaakov Reicher. He's a Yekker. He's living in Germany in the 18th century. He has a different take on this whole thing. Look what he says. He's an interesting contrast. Al Masha Shaltani, Lama Ein Nizharim Ha'olam Shel Aleich Shacharis Dalad Amas Belin Nitzel Shadayim. Why aren't people particular? They walk to the bathroom. They're not particular to wash by the bed. Now, the Bach said they're not particular because we don't want them to know the Chayiv Misa, but they should not know. He says, no, that's not the reason. I'll tell you why they're not particular, because this halacha doesn't appear in the Gemara. And this is where it ties in with the last shir. Remember what we said, if there's a machlokas between the Gemara and the Zohar, then you go with the Gemara. Later authorities said this. I think that's why the Bet Yosef left it out. Because it's not in the Gemara. Which is a bit difficult because the Bet Yosef does bring chumras of the Zohar. It's not like it's against the Gemara to wash your hands within Dalad Amos of the bed. It's just not in the Gemara. So we just did that. Etc. Fine. The other rabbi, Mavur Bashas, and he says, on the contrary, if you read the Gemara that we read at the beginning, you get up in the morning, you open your eyes, you say this, you put on your clothes, you say that. Does it sound like they washed their hands within Dalad Amos of the bed? It doesn't sound like that. They've got their talis and tefillin already on. It sounds like that. It sounds very like from the Gemara that you're actually washing a little bit later, etc. And since you have to go to the bathroom first, it's definitely more than 4 amos. Not everybody has a bathroom right by the bed. People have to go to the bathroom. The Gam Divrei has Zohar, and I want to give you another thing. Yes, I think that Zohar, he says, Svirileka Rashba. Maybe the Zohar itself follows the Rashba, and here we see a new thing. Da'ama Babrochas, the Rashba says in a different halacha, Kol Habayit Kula Havi Dalad Amos, Kedalad Amos. You've heard this before, right? Maybe the whole house is like the Dalad Amos. Maybe Dalad Amos is not strictly this square area around my body. Maybe the whole house is like your Dalad Amos. Afilu Meya Amma, even if it's 100 Amas. So then you're good. You didn't go outside your Dalad Amas, your quotes and quotes Dalad Amas, your halachic Dalad Amas, even though it's the whole house is good enough. The Afa Gav the Analoi Kaimalan Karashba, even though we don't paskin like the Rashba in that area over there. Mikol Makam Le'ilin Tilishidam Shacharis, Shehurag Precious for Chasidus, for this issue, which is only precious, it's if you want to be a big Chassid, and wash, we'll see the Chasidim soon. Shalahuski Bashas, Bapoiskim, Rishonim, Ain lahachme kolahai. We don't have to be machme. You can walk around the whole house, he says. That's good enough. That's called your dalad amas. Now, is that okay? Can you rely on that? The chida is not happy. Now, the chida I brought you last week is a kabbalist, very much following of the Pesach of the Ari, and he says no. You cannot rely on this business of the whole house being Dalad Amos. You mustn't walk more than Dalad Amos before you wash your hands. What if your bathroom is more than Dalad Amos away? He says, I'll give you an Eitzah. In Hilchos Shabbos, under certain circumstances, if you have to carry something, in the army, let's say, and you don't have an Eruv, but you have to carry it for other reasons, there is an Eitzah, there's a piece of advice. You can walk less than Dalad Amos and stop. Then walk than less than Dalad Amos and stop. And you just walk 3 amos, stop, 3 amos, stop. So one of my son's friends is in the army. They had to do this whole thing in an Arab village on Shabbos, and it wasn't pikuach nefesh. So they said they carried their kit 3 amos and stopped. 3 amos and stopped. These Arabs are looking at them going out of their mind. They're saying, what's going on with these guys? This is very scary when the Israeli army is marching 3 amos and then stopping and marching 3 amos. And he says, that's what you should do in the morning. Walk towards the bathroom, stop. Walk again, stop. Walk again, stop. Talk about OCD, right? Says the Shari Tshuva, and I'm not going to read it inside. The Shari Tshuva in number 21 says, no, if you walk and stop, then you're longer with the Ruach Ra on your hands. You should run. You shouldn't walk and you should run. You should jump. This could be a very interesting, like, documentary. Hop, skip, and jump to the bathroom. No, he says. Look in the middle of the summer 21. He says, V'loi nira. I don't like this idea of stopping every just under 4 amos. And he said, you can't rely on this whole house being Dalad Amos. That's not how it works. Very interesting. Now, a little thing you might have missed. The Birkei Yosef And the Sha'arei Tshuva, who are commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, bring this not in Siman Dalad, where the Shulchan Aruch raised the issue of Netilas Yadayim, but this is now jumped forward to Siman Aleph, because this is now Kabbalistically become the first thing that you do. And all of that old system of going through the different activities and washing when you get there, that's all gone now because of the Ruach Ra. You have to wash at the beginning, and therefore right at the very beginning, you have to do that. And the Mishnah Berurah brings that down. L'halacha l'maisa, the Mishnah Berurah brings. Now, the Mishnah Berurah is a main posek for, not the only posek, but we'll see others soon. But in Ashkenazi Jewry, the Mishnah Berurah has a very strong standing. And he paskens, I'll leave you to read it in your own time. I'll just bring you one line. Look in number 22. Umiyad kashi yitorer, when you wake up in the morning, mishinato, from your sleep, ain't a roit silishan, and you won't want to sleep anymore. And meaning, you don't. If you want to stay in bed and have a lion and turn over and press snooze on the, you know, so hashkafically that's not good, because why do you want to sleep when you can get on with life? But you don't have to wash your hands. Just 1 second, John. Okay, afshenisha mushkav. If you're still sleeping, you're still lying down. Mikol sheken shelo yelech. Sorry, a yittel yadav afshenisha mushkav. You should try and wash your hands even when you're still lying in the bed. The stakes are getting high. You have to wash your hands when you still reach over, lie, and wash your hands. All the more so, you mustn't walk. You have to be very careful about this. He says, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you want to learn Torah and you don't have any water, so are you going to just sit there all night lying idle? He says, no. Because then you can fall back on the basic din that this is like an extra Kabbalistic thing and you should not be learning Torah. He is, after all, a Rosh Hashiva. But if you're not in that situation, you have to wash your hands. Yes, John. Good, because this is what we said last week. The Mishnah Berurah's general klal is, where there's a conflict between the Gemara and the Kabbalah, the Gemara wins. But when there's no conflict, there's only a Chumrah of the Zohar, then you should follow the Chumrah. He says, we can't make you follow the Chumrah, but you should. And here, the Gemara doesn't say you shouldn't wash your hands when you're in bed. It says you don't have to. The Zohar says you do have to. So fine, so we're going to be machmi like the Zohar. That's in consonance with the Mishnah Berurah's general rules. And now, what did the Aruch HaShulchan say last week? The Aruch HaShulchan went further. If you remember our shir last week, the Aruch HaShulchan said, I'll tell you even more. I don't believe there's ever a situation where the Gemara and the Zohar actually argue. So there's never going to be a conflict with the Zohar. And Taka, he says that here. Look in 23. In case you were hoping the Aruch HaShulchan was going to let you off the hook, don't. It's not happening. Look in number 23. Ubeloi netila, without washing, asaloi leilech la'asot srachav. You can't go and do your stuff, get out, even go to the bathroom. Ela inkein oisis samuch lemitaso, unless you are able to do whatever you need to do right next to the bed. Mipnei sheyesh machmirim. Umazhirin al pi azohar. She'asal leilech dalad amas beloi netila shadayim. Now, he kind of raises your question. The Gamba Gemara, what about our Gemara, which gave us the whole list of things that you do? He says, Mashmakein, it sounds from the Gemara that you're also not walking around the room. Sharhari chashva bein brochas hashachas yisomich libitasu. Really? Does the Gemara sound like that? That you put your hat on, you put your feet on, you put your shoes on? He says, I think you can fetch the Gemara into that as well, because he wants everything to kind of harmonize and match up. But he definitely says that you have to do that. Okay, so what are we going to do with this? We all have to have a little shissel under the bed and have Nagelvass in the morning. What about kids? Do you have to wash your kids' hands? So I brought you a bunch of different views on this. The Tzitz Eliezer says, from the age of Chinuch. Why? Because Me'ika Hadin, you're washing for Tzfilah. Until the kid's able to understand what it means to say, a little bit of Tzfilah in the morning, why would you wash your hands? Other people say no. As you get more Machmir and Kabbalistic, maybe from when the child is out of diapers, maybe from when the child can say a verse in the Torah, and some bring down the Ben Ishchai says from infancy, from the day that the child is born, you have to wash their hands before they do anything in the morning. Maybe the kid will put their hand in their mouth. Kids do that all the time, right? They never got their hands out of their mouth. So if the Ruach Ra affects kids, why should it not? Then maybe, again, what you do lemaisa is going to be based on which approach you take on this. I brought you three very Hasidish sources in 24, 25, and 26. In 25, I brought Rav Meshulam Zusha of Hanipol, who says that even if you place your feet on the floor before Netilas Yadayim, you'll be plagued all day by your Ruach Behemis,
by your animal soul, which will no doubt be activated by the Ruach Ra. And again, I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound great. And I brought you a beautiful story here from the first Rebbe of Vishnitz, in number 26 that I found. The first Rebbe of Vishnitz basically used to bring water to his grandchildren for them to wash their hands in bed. So the grandchildren turned around one day and said, Zayda, the Rebbe in school said, it's okay as long as we don't walk more than Dalet Amos. So he said, really, the Rebbe said that? They said, yes. So he sacked the Rebbe. Because he fired the Rebbe. Because even though that's what the Zohar says, no, the practice, not just that you can't walk Dalet Amos, you have to actually lie in bed and wash before you put your feet on the floor. And many, many Hasidim are particularly makpid on this. And this is definitely a practice that you'll find in many people. You go to some hotels, they give you a little bowl by the bed so you don't have to even put your feet on the floor. The question, of course, arises, what happens if you have to make an emergency bracha in the middle of the night? Why might that happen? Well, you might get thirsty and suddenly need a cup of water. Do you have to go wash your hands, go to the bathroom, wash your hands with a kli 3 times, come back to bed, pick up your cup, shakoni yebidvara. By the time you've done that, you're wide awake, you're never going back to sleep. Or can you just reach over, pick up the cup, make a shower call, and drink the cup? What happens if you're lucky enough to be in bed and there's a thunderstorm? Your big clap of thunder. So, of course, what do you want to do? You want to jump out of bed and say, Shekochu Gvrosa Mariolam. So, what, you want to go wash your hands? You missed it. You have to do it. You have to do it. Tachkadei Dibur. Unless you're a really fast runner, or your bathroom is really close by, you're fastest washer in the West, you know, you're going to miss the thunder. You're not going to get there. What about a mother who wants to nurse her baby in the night? And mothers often put their finger in the baby's mouth, right? Does she have to do Netilas Yadayim before she puts the finger in the baby? These are all really halacha lemaisa questions. I brought you from Rav Avadya Yosef in 27. Rav Avadya, basically at the end of the day, falls back on the Gemara and says, for a bracha, you can just wipe your hands on the sheet. You don't have to go and wash. You can wipe your hands on the sheet, nikia, some kind of, then you can make the brocha, because otherwise you're going to miss the thunderclap. But I brought you a reference here to a very interesting tshuva in the Nishmat website, where they have the Yoetzed Halacha. They deal with all of these issues, and they have a whole nursing mother section. That's why I brought it there. And they actually give a very interesting psak. It seems they're quite a mainstream psak, where they say that if you just need to make a brocha, you can wipe your hands on the sheet. But if you need to put your finger in the baby's mouth to nurse, you have to do Netilas Yadayim. They brought that down, which sounds to me that's the psak, which is the mainstream psak. Now, we need to balance this a little bit. Oh, good, because you're getting worried, right? Yeah. You're going out there to Max Stop to buy your little shizzle with a thing, and you're going to put it under the bed. Do we have to worry about all this? Can we turn around and say, hey, you know, I'm not such a Kabbalistic person. That's not my Masora. I don't go into all this kind of thing. We'll just walk to the bathroom like I mentioned, wash in the bathroom. And there are Gedolei Israel who do that. I asked one of the grandchildren of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who I work closely with, I said, what did your grandfather do in the morning? It's very interesting, classic Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He said that he preferred to wash by the bed, but he didn't always wash by the bed. And where he was staying in someone's house and he was worried the water might damage the floor, he never washed by the bed. In case he spilled the water on the floor, he walked to the bathroom so that he wouldn't damage the wooden floor. That sounds about right to me in terms of Rabbi Yaakov. But there are people who do not wash by the bed. What are they relying on? So look at number 28. Tosfos brings on this halacha of Yom Kippur. Mishum Shifta. There's this evil spirit. Perush Rashi, Ruach Ra Hasher Al Yadayim Shelo Natlam Shacharis. Now, says Tosfos, in Europe in the 1300s, or Masha Oilam Ein Nizhari Machshav Bazeh. One of the common themes is that everyone says that nobody does this. The only question is why. Actually, the Chida said people do this. I'm sure where the Chida lived, they did. Because why do people not do this today? Lefishe Ein Oisa Ruach Ra Sheri Be'elu Amachuyot. A new statement. We don't have Ruach Ra in France anymore. We don't have it. Just like we're not worried about liquids that are left open. Now, you could say, well, he says that's because there's no snakes. It's like a practical reason. So no, we're not makpid on that kind of mystical concern as well. Or zugos. What's zugos?
Pears.
And I don't mean the fruit kind, meaning 2, 4, 6, 8, etc. The Gemara in Pesachim goes to a very detailed analysis of why Jews don't like even numbers. We don't like twos, fours, sixes, eights. We love prime numbers. We're into one. One is Hashem. We're into seven. We're really into 13. Big into 13. Non-Jews love even numbers, but they don't like prime numbers. And they're not into 13. Very interesting. Rav Yoel ben Nun has a thesis that that's because prime numbers represent a sort of a monotheism, a deep monotheism. There's one. And non-Jews are ultimately more Zoroastrian. They're into the dark side and the light side. Anyway, Jews are not into pairs. So the Gemara says, you never have two glasses of wine. If you're going to have more than one, you have three. I'll buy into that, okay? Therefore, the Shaila is on Pesach, on Seder night, how can you have four cups of wine? That's what the Gemara says. And it comes down to Leil Shimurim. Maybe that's why. Leil Shimurim, it's you have protection, Kosher Eliyahu, fine. So, says Tosfos, no, we're not worried about Zugas anymore. We're not into this, we just don't do this. And the Lechem Mishnah says the Rambam wasn't into this either. But that's difficult for you and me. How can we just turn around and say, oh, I'll paskan like the Rambam. I'll paskan like Tosfos. I'm sorry, that's not how the halachic system works. There's a Shulchan Aruch. There are Meforshim. And the classic post-Shulchan Aruch, both Sephardi and Ashkenazi Meforshim say, you have to wash your hands and you have to do it by the bed. What are you going to do? So you could turn around and say, well, I'll follow the Shvus Yaakov. The Shvus Yaakov was an 18th century posik that said, we're not magpid on this these days. You can walk the whole house is like Daladamas. Okay. No one, you know, maybe you can't go too far wrong relying on the Shvus Yaakov. He's part of the modern halachic process. But that's not how the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Vadia, that's not how anyone paskins these days. Who's going to help you? And I'll tell you who's going to help you. And this may only help you if you're a Litvak. Because there is a story of the Ger Tzedek of Vilna. Now, I knew there was a story out there, and I researched it a little bit on Isru Chag when I was preparing the shir, and I found this piece in the Minchas Shlomo, in the Halicha Shlomo, excuse me, of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, where he brings down, look with me, number 30, because you'll really like this source. And I was very shocked to find that the day I found this was actually the Yortzeit of the Ger Tzedek of Vilna, the 270th Yortzeit. And look what it says. The Amar Rabbeinu, Rav Shlomo Zalman used to say, Sheshama mizikne Yerushalayim, he heard from the elders of Jerusalem, Shekibla biyadam, ish mipi ish, ad hagon Rav Chaim of Elojin, Sheshama mirabbeinu hagro. That they heard it in a direct line to the Vilna Gaon. Shebashash and Nisraf, Ger Tzedek HaKodesh, Avram ben Avram, Akdusha Hashem. When Avram ben Avram, the Ger Tzedek of Vilna, Count Valentin Potocki, who converted the local duke in Vilna there, who converted to Judaism, and when the non-Jews found out, they insisted that he would be either convert back or he would be liable to death, and he chose death rather than leave Judaism. When he died, Al Kiddush Hashem, Beyom Bet Shel Chag HaShvuah, Shnat Taf Kuftet, Bak'a Shel Hevet Eish Mimara Machpela, a flame, a lick of flame came out of Marat Machpela in Hebron, the Hasiktra Achra Ibd Mikocha, and the dark side lost some of its strength. And at that time, the mystical evil spirit on the hands in the morning was weakened because of the Kiddush Hashem of Avram and Avram Ager Tzedek of Vilna. How lenient can you be on this? Horace or Rav Shlomo would say, Shlomo Zalman, she'en azuz minham v'or b'poiskim of Mishnah Berurah, u'b'prat b'mashim v'or b'gemara, yad liyad tikatzetz. You should try not to break with the law of the Mishnah Berurah, and you certainly shouldn't put your hands in your eyes, etc. Vaday ein lahakla, because that's in the Gemara. Okay? Ela de loy chami, I'm on the fourth line from the bottom, loy chami kol kach le'inyin halicha dalad amas b'loy netila, she'en mefurish b'gemara. But because of the Kiddush Hashem of the Ger Tzedek of Vilna, we don't have to be so careful anymore of not walking Dalad Amos without washing our hands. Because that far it was released for us. Because that's not brought in the Gemara, and there are other poskim that say the same thing. V'rabbeinu hayamaniach hamayim ala shulchan asomach l'mitasa. Rav Shlomo Zalman would put the water near his bed. V'natal sham yadav bekumo b'mitzaso. And he would be makpid himself to do that. V'imhayu hamayim balala tachat hamitzah sheyesh na'alav horishiroi litol mimayim achrim. Fine, but he didn't want the water under the bed, whatever. U'kashehivkim pam echad be'echad b'bnei bayis she'ein lefan of man netila hechinu ma'atzma somach l'mitzaso. Meaning, Rav Shlomo Zalman was careful where he could be, but in essence, the reason that people, if they're Litvaks, I don't know who's here's a Litvak. I'm a Litvak, so I kind of connect with this. All my family came from Kovna and Vilna and Riga. The power of the Kiddush Hashem of the Ged Tzedekah Vilna has given you a patur, if you like, maybe, from walking, from having to stay within Dalai Lamas of the bed. I don't know if you can rely on that if you're a Galiciana. I'm sorry. Certainly not if you're a Sephardi. I don't know. You have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. And I brought you just on the last page. I'm not going to go through it in detail, but maybe we can look at this some other time. I brought you a Hashgafic piece from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in number 32 in the Emes Liyakov, where he says, how do we square different Meforshim that say, the Rambam says there's no such thing as Shadim anymore. No such thing. The Ramban says there is such a thing. The Gemara seems to say there is such a thing. So is there or isn't there? So he says, look, maybe it depends on which time you live. If you live in a time when people are very connected to forces from heaven, Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh, then balancing that, there is a Ruach Ra. But if you live in a time where everybody's disconnected, so then there's no Ruach Ra. And maybe that's how it works. And if you're someone who happens to be more connected, you're the first Rebbe of Vishnitz, so maybe for you there is Ruach Ra. So maybe for some people there is Ruach Ra, and for some people there isn't Ruach Ra, depending on your life, worldview, etc. Halacha l'maisa, I brought you some summaries at the bottom there, although please ask your own poskim. But one has to take this seriously. There are halachas about when you have to wash, when you get up in the morning. But I think that this whole analysis is really fascinating because it weaves together both the hashkafas and the halachas and the Kabbalah, etc. And I thought this was a good example of what we've been talking about. So I'm sorry about my voice. It made it through to the end, Baruch Hashem. But in 3 weeks from now, please God, 4 weeks from now, okay, I'll be back, please. God, we'll talk about Ein Hara. That'll be fun, or maybe not. And in the meantime, you'll have the delights of Rabbi Berzin next week.